My dear brothers and sisters and young people in Christ. On some occasions when I sit and listen, I always find it hard to go home and to remember everything that was said. And so I thought just today, as for something different, I would actually give you something so you could take it away with you. So if you happen to miss something, you might be able to have a quick flick through, and I'll just give you something to read during the week and to remind yourself about how good we have it. And Cameron, while you're still up, can you please pull that red blind over there, because I can't see. It's just like Saul on the way to Damascus. Thank you. So the prophet Daniel was given God's plan for the earth. And yes, it was in a form of a dream. But Daniel, we're told, was deeply troubled by what he saw, because the beasts that he saw, we're told, that they were enormous and they were aggressive and destructive. And of course, we know that those beasts, in their own way, were very destructive to God's people through their history, and also to God's truth, even to our day now, that God's way, God's people, have been under threat because of what these world empires represent: human power, human desire to rule this world. But it is God that has a plan. And just like Daniel, we might look at the world today and we might get troubled. We can take heart that God does have a plan with the earth. He revealed his plan with all the nations and all the terrible things that would happen. But we can take comfort and hope from those few verses that are inserted to the chapter that we read from Daniel 7, that there will be a time when Jesus will return and the saints of the Most High will inhabit the earth. They will be the kingdom established on earth. So even though that the world is in a state of trouble, let's just remind ourselves of a few simple things. God has created the earth not to be destroyed and not to be abused. As it says in the prophet Isaiah, he hath made it, he established it, and he created it. And he has a purpose with it. And that's for that purpose is that the whole earth will one day be filled with people, just like you and me, hopefully, that want to serve God and to give him the glory for the things that he has made. And we look forward to that time when this earth will no longer be filled with confusion and all the problems that go along with it, but that the knowledge of God's way will be there, obvious to all, for everyone to follow. So God's plan is to fill this earth with people who are willing to love and serve him. And isn't it great that we can all come here in our quiet moment here today to remind ourselves of that? Because when we leave here, the world is at a different pace. And so we need to make the most of our opportunity. Of our opportunity to remember Jesus. Because that is the plan that God has provided for us, through which we can be saved. Because without that plan out in the world, we would just go merrily through our life like everyone else. In John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We all know we die. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. But we also have an opportunity to be related to Christ. And of course, he was the first fruits, the first person to be raised from the dead. And because of what he achieved in his life, he was given eternal life. the wages of sin is death, we do agree. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we are encouraged time and time again to get to know Jesus in the way that he interacted with the people around him, with his disciples, and also with his enemies. Christ was offered. He offered himself. He laid down his life, first for himself, and then for anyone else that might look to him. Because Jesus will return to this earth a second time. And we're told that will be to replace sin with salvation. In Acts that we read this last week, the disciples were with Jesus, and Jesus was taken away from them. And those disciples were told, "Why are you looking up? Jesus will return." And of course, we still await that day. And we're told in Acts 3, Jesus will be in heaven until the time of restitution or restoration of all things, which God has been speaking to us clearly all the way through history, in the Bible, and to his chosen people all the way from Adam and Eve, all the way through to our day now. God's message of hope and his plan for the earth is there. And what is God's plan? Well, you could probably break it down into three parts. Because when Jesus returns, he has a reward with him that he wants to give to everyone, if only everyone would turn to God. What Jesus wants to bring with him and what God wants to give people is eternal life, a restored and beautiful earth, and the company of faithful people from all ages. They're the three things that God has promised in his Bible. In Romans 2 verse 7, we're told, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for God's glory and honour and immortality, the reward will be eternal life." And that's why we're all encouraged in the book of Jude to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And that great verse out of Revelation, when even though that this whole world is full of death and sorrow, there will be a time when Jesus will return and he will replace that. There will be no more tears in people's eyes, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. For the former things are passed away, we're told. And Jesus said in that revelation, "Behold, I make all things new." And so the world and the state that we suffer with now will be replaced. Will be replaced with eternal life, to be enjoyed on this earth, an earth restored. And that's why we read on in Isaiah about when God will create a new heaven and a new earth. It's not that the earth gets taken away and replaced by another earth. It's a restoration. Because Jerusalem will become a place to rejoice in for all her people. We're told that God will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping will no more be heard, nor the voice of crying, in stark contrast to what is happening in the land of Israel today. And what will they do in that kingdom time? They'll build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. I love the psalm that says, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth." Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. And the whole earth will be restored. And there are so many verses that talk about the reaper overtaking the person, sower, you know what I mean, the sower overtaking the person that's harvesting, because the earth will be blessed once again. And it'll also be an earth where there will no longer be war. And we know that people will, instead of building weapons of war, they'll be building tools to harvest what the earth can provide. And the faithful people, brothers and sisters, we read a little bit about Abraham from our reading out of Acts 7. Well, these are the people that we'll see and meet in that kingdom age. In Luke 13 we read, we'll see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And they'll come from all directions and they'll sit down in peace in God's kingdom. And then Hebrews 11 comes to our mind, does it not? That we can read all about these people, all these faithful people, and then at the end of chapter 11, we're included in that list as well, God willing. That they without us should not be made perfect, because they're still waiting for their reward, even though that they are dead and buried. And we all hope, brothers and sisters, that just like those faithful people listed, that we too will be told, well done, you have shown some faith in God's plan and purpose with this earth. At the moment, there are wars in Israel, and both warring parties claim their inheritance from Abraham. But as we read in our reading from Acts 7, it's obvious through which children God's promises truly flowed. The promises to Abraham were about the land, and there are many verses that talk about that. And Abraham passed them on to Isaac and then to Jacob. And it's through Abraham's seed that all nations of the earth should be blessed. And indeed, when you look at the Jewish people, they are a blessed people. They are skilled. Even in the modern age, their achievements show that they are indeed a blessed people. And I think many people throughout history have been jealous of that. And so they come to try and take a spoil. But how many times throughout Israel's history has God saved his people? We read about the children of Israel when they left Egypt. They were threatened. But the whole group of them could have been wiped out. But God saved them. And we think of the time of Esther in the time of the Persians. There are many times in Israel's history where God has intervened and saved his people. And why? Because it was to them that the promises were extended. The children of Israel are indeed a holy people. And it is our prayer that they will turn to God and rely on him for help. While we worry and are troubled about what we see from time to time, we can take hope and rest that God has chosen Jerusalem as that city of peace. There are many a psalm that say, "This is where God will rest. Here will I dwell," he says, "for I have desired it." And there will be a time when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. And not only was it to Abraham that those wonderful promises were made, but also to King David, a king that fought off enemies on all fronts, who stood firm for his people. But of course, as we sang in one of the hymns, we are looking forward to great David's greater son. And that greater Son will put down all enemies worldwide, not just the neighbours of Israel. And we look forward to that time, as promised to King David, that he would have a seed that would be established on his throne forever. And just so we get the point, in many of the verses we're told it's not just forever, but even forever and ever. Jesus will rule without end. And that is what was promised to Mary, wasn't it? That she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But that hasn't happened yet, has it, brethren and sisters? We're just like those disciples that when Jesus was taken away, we're still looking. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will return in the same manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, those who have fallen asleep with the knowledge and faith in Jesus, shall rise first to be judged for the things that they have done and the things that they have not done. And Jesus has a reward with him to give to any man according as his work is. When Jesus was crucified, he was like a lamb, but he will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to save his people. And it is only then that people will, in the streets of Jerusalem, praise Jesus for who he really is, the King, the promised Messiah, the only person who is just, having salvation. Remember that time when he entered into Jerusalem riding on an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass? Well, that same person is going to rule this earth, the entire earth, from sea to sea. Jesus sacrificed himself as a lamb. He will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to bring salvation to his people, and to those people who wait for him. Our life is short. We have been given many blessings and many great abilities. And sometimes we can think too much of what we've been given, and we can forget that it's God that's given us these abilities, and we place emphasis on what we can do. But one thing that we can't do, we can't maintain life. It is going to end. And it is only through Jesus and through God's power that any creature can be raised from the dead. And for any Bible student who understands and who has read the Bible, that is the true Christian hope, to be raised from the dead. And as it says in Acts 26 that we'll read in a few weeks' time, and I love this verse, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? The wonderful Creator can do anything in his will. And this is what Christians have always believed from the very first century. That's what Paul aspired to, as he says in Philippians, that he might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he also says elsewhere, he's got to be very careful, he himself in his life, in case he misses out on the resurrection. And what did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so it's up to us, brothers and sisters, to play our part, to study and to place our faith and hope in that promise that the dead in Christ shall rise first when Jesus returns. Jesus was a carpenter. I'm sure often he'd mark out pieces of wood, put them together to make something useful. And in many ways, it's just like the potter and the clay. We too are all people. We all have our characters. And we too are trying to form ourselves into something that is useful, to be of use in God's coming kingdom. We all have different marks to aspire to. It's not like a competition where we all have to achieve the same as Jesus. Through his forgiveness, we all have to just do our best with what we've been given. And Jesus will take all things into account. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So let's not judge each other, but let's support each other in the right way. Because God's plan for the earth is not going to change. Jesus knows what we're going through the time of trouble of our lives. He's been touched by that trouble, and he endured through many different situations where he could have done wrong, but he didn't. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet he did not sin. And that is why he is a suitable mediator between us and God. Isn't it amazing that out of this world, out of millions of people, that we have the opportunity to be reconciled back to God through Jesus, our mediator? And I would say that without that mediator, we would have no hope. When Jesus does return, it is our prayer that we'll hear these words: Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. God's plan and purpose has been there from the very beginning, that the meek will inherit the earth, and they will delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And so as we go about our daily life now, and week by week, let us have this attitude. Because it's not just about the things we do or don't do, a lot of it is about attitude. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. If we are so enthusiastic about that reward, that should change our behaviour each day. A reward which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto everyone who loves his appearing. So, in comparison to the world of trouble that we now experience, as it's said in Daniel 7, the kingdoms of men will be replaced. And this future kingdom will be based on a righteous king that will establish peace and justice in this earth. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The whole world will change when Jesus returns. The question is, how will we react to the invitation? For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none earth, and there is none else. The question is, will we be one of those inhabitants of God's kingdom on this earth?